Good morning, Giles. How are you?
Good, thanks, Michael. Welcome back.
Thank you. A little freshen up has done wonders, as we all know. Now, what are we thinking? Have we got any more clarity? We spoke to Martin Pakula on Monday about when crowds can come back. He said hopefully by the end of the week we'd have some news. Do we have an answer, Giles, as to when we can return to the track?
Okay, let me just set out where we're at and what the scene is. So, under the Victorian Government's public events framework, which they issued last weekend, clubs can submit an application a week before an event to have up to 500 people attend the race meeting. They've got to meet all the protocols and requirements, the guidelines, you know, the classic sort of separation measures, COVID safe practices. And we have had several clubs make those applications. We are optimistic. I don't have a definitive answer, but we're optimistic that we will get news later today that Yarra Valley on Saturday and the Warrnambool Jericho Cup on Sunday will have some attendance. We'll have up to 500. Now, I can't say definitively that's the case, but their application has been in for quite a while, and we remain optimistic on that. So watch that space for breaking news. If it breaks during your show, we'll make sure that you get the news. But we're hopeful. The challenge, of course, is there's a huge amount of work that has to go on in various government departments, assessing all of these applications that are now coming through as not just racing, but other events open up. And it's just a mountain of work to get through. So, you know, we're hopeful, we're optimistic, acknowledging that, you know, this is not something that is, well, it's new. It's new, and it's a challenge for everyone to get through it as quickly as it possibly can. The one thing I would say, Michael, is just to be clear that it won't be like a normal race day. It won't be like a reversion back to a race day. If you imagined if you had 500 in a previous pre-COVID world, it won't be like that. It will be a different experience. People will have to be either allocated a seat or allocated a spot on the ground. The people attending won't be able to roam freely. They'll be able to leave their spot, go to the bathroom or to get some food and beverage or something like that. But it won't be in the traditional sense that you can just wander around, go to the tie-up stalls and go to the rail. It won't be like that. So it will be different, but we're hopeful.
So the 500, does that include owners or are owners outside that 500? Are they all encapsulated as one?
Well, they are inside that 500. And the reason why that's a good thing is because the restrictions on the owners before meant that they could only come for a particular period of the day. This allows them to come for the whole day. So although there was an initial surge of owners when it first became possible to do, actually there hasn't been many going because actually it's not been a particularly great experience for them. They've only been able to arrive a particular time before a race and they've had to disappear again. This will make it a bit more of a day for them. And so within that 500, there will be owners and we're expecting a bit more to come back to the track because it will be a better experience for them. Not the old classic experience for them, unfortunately. They won't be able to go and have a discussion with the jockey or the trainer because the racing bubble will still be in place. But at least they'll be able to be there for the day. And so we're expecting a little bit of a return.
So restaurants, hospitality open to those 500 punters who can be on course?
Okay, so that's the other thing. So it's totally up to the clubs. So it's firstly up to the clubs whether they can do it, whether they want to do it, and how they do it. And so therefore, there will be some clubs that will be able to open up for, you know, nice sit-down catering. There'll be others who will just simply be able to have food trucks or a bar open. So the key here is that for each club and for each meeting, to go to the club's website as it's heading towards the race day to see exactly what you have to do to register or to get a ticket to go, but also what facilities will be on offer. So it's going to be a club-by-club basis as we work through this.
And will those who are on course be able to walk around the course? Will they be able to go down to the horse stalls and look at the horses as well, or will you be restricted to a certain area?
Yeah, you'll be restricted to a certain area, so you won't be able to be free roaming. So, as I say, it will be an unusual experience. It won't be quite as free and as ready as it has been in the pre-COVID. But for now, unfortunately, you won't be able to be free roaming. Now, of course, this is a very dynamic space, and the government has made the point that they will review these protocols and guidelines on a fortnightly basis. So, you know, we'd be hoping that there, gradually over time there would be an improvement in what people can do and where they can go, and also a steady uplift in the numbers as well. So you'd like to think that by Christmas, if these numbers come through, and I know there's another donut day today,
yeah.
As these numbers come through, then gradually the numbers will increase. And, you know, you never know, it might have a few thousand before Christmas, and then, you know, in the new year, start getting up serious numbers on track.
Well, it's a good step forward. Now, you said Yarra Valley and Warrnambool, so Moonee Valley won't have any crowds?
No, Moonee Valley, well, the first metropolitan meter that has got an application in that we're waiting on is Sandown next, on the 2nd of December, next Wednesday, which is the first twilight meeting of the racing season. So there was an application for that, so watch out for that. And also Echuca on the same day, on the Wednesday, also has an application in, so look out for that as well. So it'll be pretty fluid, and we've got to, you know, keep our flexibility going again, as we've had to over the last few months as opportunities arise. So the first one, if it does happen, will be Yarra Valley.
Well, it's good that both these clubs can get some people back, especially Warrnambool with the Jericho Cup on Sunday, and it is the first step, as you said, hopefully to getting bigger crowds back. Outside of the racing, I know there's been a lot of owners that have been asking, when are they able to maybe return to do a stable visit, seeing their own horses? Is that far away, do you think?
Well, again, hopefully not, but I don't have anything concrete to say on that. So we are working through that, and we are working through on the guidelines and protocols on that. We understand that the demand and people's desire to get back to the stable. So hopefully in the next few days, I don't want to get too set my expectations too optimistically, but hopefully in the next few days we'll be able to make some announcements around that and get people back out to the stables. Now, it might be that they can get to the stables, but they can't get to the official trials. So they won't, again, it won't be just simply, okay, now let's go back to what it was like before. But we're very, very conscious that the owners who have just done extraordinary things for the industry over the last 7 or 8 months, supporting industry, trying to get them as much back for them as much as we can, as soon as we can. So, again, watch this space, and Michael, as soon as we know, then clearly you guys at RSN will be one of the first to know.
Well, that is good news anyway. We're expecting confirmation this morning, up to 500 people on track for the Jericho Cup on Sunday and Yarra Valley on Saturday. I noticed a few announcements yesterday, Giles, the race dates for the rest of the next 6 months, which encapsulated, obviously, the Autumn Carnival. And most interestingly, the trialling for the next 2 years of a race-free week from the 26th of July on the Monday through to the Friday, the 30th of July. And I suppose it's only been announced really yesterday, but you would have taken a lot of feedback from the industry participants. How's it been received?
Yeah, well, this is something that we've been looking at from a broader perspective about the working week. We call it the working week sort of a consideration. So very conscious that, you know, a few years ago, we raced pretty much every day, except for Christmas and Good Friday, and that this is a real issue for the participants, sort of the endless cycle. And one of the ideas that had been touted and discussed a lot is a bit of a break at the end of the season, and this is it coming to fruition. We actually did announce this quite a while ago, but it may not have sort of hit people's radars, but with the release of the race date, so from the 26th of July, Monday the 26th of July to the 30th of July, there'll be no racing or official trials in Victoria. And that's to give everyone a bit of a break. I mean, it's not a huge amount of time, but it's something, and it's something we're going to give it a bit of a go for the next couple of years. We also have no race meet scheduled on Christmas Eve, and that's this year, which is to give participants a bit of a two-day break, spend with their families away from racing, and that we're going to trial that for the next couple of years as well. So we now have something like nearly 20 days a year where we don't race. So, I know we all used to think we raced every day, and we did, except for those two that I mentioned. But now, with things like the race-free Mondays, the week off in July, the Christmas Eve, we're now up to nearly 20 a year where we don't race. And hopefully that gives everyone a bit more of an opportunity to take a pause like you have over the last couple of days.
Well, everyone in the industry needs that. There is no doubt about that. It is one of the hardest working industries around. Outside of that, the All-Star Mile has been confirmed to be run on March 13 at Moonee Valley, which will be good. Giles, there's been a lot of news this week. You've had the AGM, and I'll probably talk more in depth with Brian Kruger next week about a lot of the stuff there, but I thought one of the most poignant things that came out of it was the aim of Racing Victoria wanting to keep that engagement from the viewers that were watching and the turnover moving forward out of the COVID period. And is there a plan that's been put together about how you will try and keep that engagement?
Well, the thing that we sort of talked a bit about at the AGM was an integrated media business. So something that we've been working on over the last probably 18 months. We've got lots of media assets, and we've got lots of different parts that we on the supply chain of our media. So, for example, TRP, which is the race capture trucks on course, they're owned by the race clubs. You know, we own Best Bets, Winning Post, Racing.com, the ownership indirectly of RSN. All of those assets aren't necessarily very coordinated. And if we bring those together and we ensure that we're focused on expanding into the new space on digital and those types of things that we've seen really take off in the last 6 to 12 months, and we believe that we can provide the right content and more engaging content at the right time through the right channels to people who want to engage with Victorian racing. And really, this momentum that we've enjoyed over COVID, and you know, it's been a pretty tough 8 months, but there's been the odd silver lining, and one of them is the re-engagement with racing that many have found. That if we can continue to engage with them and provide really interesting insights and stories, that they will continue to engage with racing. So it's a broader strategy as opposed to one particular thing.
Mm. I suppose the biggest part of that is the animal and animal welfare. And we saw at the back end of the Spring Carnival, unfortunately, what happened with the Melbourne Cup with Anthony van Dyck. And I know there's been a lot of work behind the scenes in reviewing that injury and subsequent death and what next year's Spring Carnival may look like. Where are you at with that review and speaking to the vets, internationals? Because there's been a few cryptic tweets from international trainers such as Lee Freeman and Charlie Fellow. So have you landed on what it may look like next year?
No, we haven't landed on that. The team's been working hard on that challenge and has been having lots of conversations with people all around the world, all parts of the industry, all of those, everything from, you know, very technical bets right the way through to classic horsemen. And the team is working hard on that, but we've pulled in some onto the team some external fresh eyes as well. So we've got some sort of non-Victorian eyes on that. So people like David Sykes, who's a highly regarded Australian but internationally experienced vet. Chris Wallace agreed to be part of that team, and Ben Cox. So some highly regarded specialists within the industry. The key is that we do the work and we really nut out what the issues are. It won't be until the new year that we're beginning to really formulate those recommendations. So anything you hear in the meantime is merely speculation of where the team's landing, because it's too soon to get a landing on it. We really need to make sure that we put all the data, all the information, all the work we possibly can to make sure that whatever recommendations we come up with are the right ones.
I'm not sure if you saw after the last night, but Michael Kent, who is he's very passionate and he's also very knowledgeable, he was very strong with his viewpoints about what occurred and the Werribee racetrack. It's an extended grab, but I just wanted to play it to you and then get your reaction. This is what Mick Kent had to say on after the last night.
Werribee doesn't work. I guess if they were coming here for 2 weeks, like they do in the Breeders' Cup of Hong Kong, and they're having one piece of work and running once and going home, they'd be fine. But you saw Aidan train his horses quite vigorously out there. And the reason he does that is because at home he would be going up a hill. So he would have 2,000 metre canters every day up a hill, which is where they get their fitness from. So all of a sudden, they're at the end of a long season, so their skeleton's under stress. Then they turn up to Werribee where they have a taper in quarantine. Then they go to Werribee where they have to... The only way they can get their heart rate up is to go fast. And they're going fast, so they're loading their bone completely wrong. So if you want to break a horse's leg, that's exactly how you do it. You give them a long season, you back off a bit, and then you train them in a different manner. We know this. We bloody well know it, you know. We've known it for a long time. So think of all the horses that come out here, that not just the ones that have broken their legs in Melbourne Cup, the ones that have broken down at Werribee. It's, you know, it's not the right design. The only person, this is my thoughts, who has no trouble out at Werribee is Willie Mullins. If you've ever been to Willie Mullins' place, he trains around a tight circle vigorously. So his horses are completely adapted to it. But it's very hard to adapt a horse's bone in a couple of weeks. So I think the horses having their second run are in high danger. So for me, you should close Werribee. If you really insist on bringing those horses out, come out in August, go through Mickleham where they have 2 weeks off and they train in our tracks, and by the time they get to the Melbourne Cup, they're either coping and seasoned or they're not. But you can't adapt bone in 2 weeks. It's under extreme stress. And you give them a race first, you stress the bone, and they're in a worse situation, and their second run, they're high risk. So they would be just derelict of their duty if they open Werribee again, in my opinion.
Yeah, strong comments there from Mick Kenny. He's a trainer who knows, obviously, the anatomy of his horses and what stresses horses are under. I think there's a number of contributing factors, but what's your reaction to what Mick Kenny has to say there, Giles?
Well, Mick's got lots of very strong opinions on lots of things, and they come from great knowledge and great experience. So they are always worth listening to and always worth considering. I think there's two bits that he was really talking about there, and I'm not sure the relative emphasis. One was Werribee itself, and you know, Mick's point that we should shut Werribee, and I suspect that's because of the view that it's too tight, as opposed to the condition of the track, which he didn't mention, but others have in the past. I think slightly erroneously, they've about the condition of the track down there. The other one is about the long season, the stress, the adjustment, the hard work on these horses. And, of course, horses such as Anthony Van Dyck ran brilliantly the first time and then broke down on the second run here, and that's obviously been flagged as well. I think there's lots of relevant parts to what he says, and all of that is absolutely on the Racing Victoria and the broader team radar for consideration. I think what's important, though, is that we don't necessarily jump to a conclusion that Werribee itself is the issue, and therefore, you know, we're derelict or whatever the quote was from Mick about if we reopen it again. Because is the issue Werribee, or is the issue the long season, or is the issue the fact that they've been pushed to go second up quicker than they would have done normally? All of those questions need to be answered before we jump to a conclusion that, therefore, Werribee can't possibly be opened again. I'm not so sure that Werribee's the issue. I think it might be more in the history of the horse and the season that the horse has had. But, again, end of November is not the time to be making those conclusions. I would like to see the team and the specialists who are listening to all of the experts from around the world, including, hopefully, Mick as well, to come to the answer.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of discussion points and a lot of work done before we get to the answer. But I think, as you said, there's a number of contributing factors. Giles, appreciate your time this morning. A ray of good news that we will get some crowds back to the track and slowly build on moving forward, hopefully sooner rather than later. But I appreciate your time this morning.
No problem. Thanks so much.